Learning is the best way you can go through life. I want to share with you from John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, a message I've entitled, How to Travel to Heaven in a First Class Seat. Would you read with me, please, beginning in John chapter 4, verse 46. Speaking of Jesus, the Word of God says, He came therefore again to Cana of Galilee, where He had made the water wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was requesting him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Verse 48, Jesus therefore said to him, Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. The royal official said to him, Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, Go your way, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. And as he was going down, his slaves met him, saying, His son was living. So he inquired of them the hour which he began to get better. They said therefore to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, Your son lives. And he himself believed, and his own household. This again, a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of being able to be here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are in your word. And I pray that you will use your word by the power of your spirit to speak to each of our hearts, those who are your servants. Teach us what it means to truly trust you with our life, and all that happens in our life is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 46, we see a man who was afraid for the life of his son. But we also see a man who brought his fear to the Lord Jesus and then learned that he could put his trust in the Lord Jesus and have no reason to fear. There have been many times in my ministry where I have found myself fearful and anxious and worried. Have you faced those times? Some of you are worried even this morning about perhaps a paper or a grade or a test. Some of you are beginning to worry about what you're going to be doing after graduation. Some of you may have a loved one who is sick. Some of you may have a problem that no one besides God knows about, and it's causing your heart to fear. The Bible is clear. We will all face numerous situations in life that cause our hearts to fear, but the Bible also says that we have a choice as to how we want to handle those situations. David outlined that choice very clearly in Psalm 56:3, where he said, When I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But then he goes on in verse 4 and says, In God I have put my trust and will not be afraid. Dwight L. Moody used to say, you can travel first class or second class to heaven. Second class is, when I am afraid, I will trust. First class is, I will trust and not be afraid. Brethren, we have a lot of Christians and a lot of God's servants who are going to heaven on second class tickets when they could be going on first. For those of you who would like to travel to heaven in a first class seat, I have some good news for you. A first-class ticket has been purchased for you. It has your name on it. And all you have to do to travel to heaven first class is to learn to trust the Lord and not be afraid. Here we see in these verses a man who started coming to the Lord with fear in his heart, and he wound up with trust in his heart. What we see in this passage is insight as to how we can trust the Lord and not be afraid. I want you to see in our text, if you want to travel to heaven in a first-class seat, there are three things that you need to watch. Number one, in verses 46 and 47, you need to watch what you bring to the Lord. We see in verse 46, this man brought a hurting heart to the Lord because his son was dying. He had heard about the Lord Jesus and the power he had to change water into wine. The news had traveled from Cana to Capernaum that he had done this amazing miracle, and so this man decided to respond to what he had heard by coming to the Lord and asking him to heal a hurting heart by healing his son. Now, in so doing, he modeled the first truth that you and I need to understand if we're going to trust the Lord and not be afraid. It says, when he heard in verse 47, he went. Most of you could quote that verse with me, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. But you know, as we think about that verse, we need to be very careful that we understand what it is that we're hearing and what it is that we're seeing when we go to the word of God, what it is that we are to learn. It is not so much that we come to the word of God to learn what God wants us to do about our problems or how he wants to minister to our anxiety or adversity. It is not even so much that we come to the word of God to try to know his will and his plan for our lives. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's okay to do. The Bible is full of wisdom and guidance for life. But if that's all you do when you go to the word of God, you're going to be missing out on so much of what God wants to show you and what God wants to do in your life. You see, you'll be sitting in a second-class seat when a first-class seat has been reserved for you. Want a first-class seat? Then come to the word of God for the purpose of learning who Jesus is and why you can trust him, not just with your problems, but also with your life. Listen, the word of God has been given to us for the purpose of learning who Jesus is and what he's like. Jesus said it this way in John 5:39. He says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. I could paraphrase that and say, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have the solution for a problem you have. You search the scriptures because in them you think you might find a sermon or a Bible study. But that's not what Jesus said. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. You see, although Jesus is interested in helping your hurting heart, you know what he's far more interested in? He's far more interested in having your heart, whether it's hurting or not. The truth about trusting the Lord is that we need to trust ourselves to him, not just our problems and not just our needs. Titus 2:14 says it this way, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and listen, purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. I've spent a couple of days out in the yard just cleaning up trash and leaves and trimming branches and did a lot of work. Had a big trash pile when I was through. But you know, when I finished, I did not show it off by asking my wife to come out and look at the trash pile. I showed it off by asking my wife to come out and look at the yard. Well, let me tell you, when we bring our problems and we bring our sins to the Lord Jesus, we need to be sure we remember something. And I want you to be careful with what I'm about to say. It's not so much that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and problems. He did that. But he died on the cross to get those out of the way. He died on the cross for you and for me. That's what he wants from us. He wants a surrendered and yielded life. It's okay to bring your burdens to the Lord, but it's a whole lot better just to bring yourself along with your burdens. We need to surrender ourselves completely to the Lord Jesus, trusting him with our lives and our problems, whatever they may be, will be included. Want to go to heaven in a second-class seat? Bring your problems to the Lord. But if you want to travel to heaven in a first-class seat, bring yourself to the Lord. If you want to learn to trust the Lord and not be afraid, you need to, number one, watch what you bring to the Lord. But there's a second thing that we see in verses 48 through 49. And that is, not only if you want to travel to heaven in a first-class seat, should you watch what you bring to the Lord, but number two, you should watch what you believe about the Lord. We see in verses 48 and 49 our Lord's response to this man who brought his hurting heart to the Lord Jesus. But you know, along with that hurting heart, he also brought an inadequate belief about who the Lord Jesus was and about his power. At first, our Lord's response here in verse 48, where he says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will simply not believe, might seem to be a little harsh. But all that the Lord Jesus is saying is that unless you see me doing something to prove who I say I am, you will not believe. This man did not believe what was needed about the Lord to fully trust him. You see, although he believed Jesus could heal, he did not believe that the Lord's power was sufficient enough to travel 16 miles from Cana to Capernaum. So in order to teach this man about himself, Jesus started where he was and led him one step at a time to where he needed to be. And may I say to you, he will do the same thing with you. I love Matthew 11:28 and 29. Most of you could quote it with me. Come to me, all who are what? weary and heavy laden. You know, I don't have a problem with that part of that verse. I find it pretty easy to come to the Lord Jesus Christ when I have problems and when I have fears in ministry and when all the weight of people's problems and all the issues of the church and all the lostness of people in the community just weigh me down. I don't have a problem coming to the Lord weary and heavy laden. But you know the mistake I make? Too often I come to Him weary and heavy laden and say, "Here, Lord, here's my problems, here's my burdens, here's my concern," and I run off a little prematurely because He is saying to me as I'm leaving Him, "Here, Alan, here's my yoke." Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke and what? Learn of me." You see, the Lord Jesus wants us to come with our ministry issues and our personal problems and our needs. He does want us to come, but when we come, He wants us to take a yoke. And when we take that yoke, He wants us to learn of Him so that we will find rest in our soul. We will learn how to trust the Lord and not be afraid. The more we learn about who Jesus is, the more we can learn we can trust Him with all that happens in our life. Psalm 9:10 says, "And those who know Thy name will put their trust in Thee." Our folks are having a great time in the Bible study anchored in Jerry Bridges' book, Trusting God. In that book, he says there are three essential truths that we must believe if we are to trust God. They are is that God is completely sovereign, God is infinite in wisdom, God is perfect in love. Do you notice the focus there? It is, if I'm going to trust God, I need to focus on what the Bible teaches, not about what I'm to do about my problem, need, or situation. I am to focus upon who God is. You see, this man experienced anxiety and fear because he did not have an adequate belief about who Jesus was. He thought the Lord Jesus must come to where his boy was. Had he known who he was talking to, that he spoke the world into existence, that by him all things that were created and in him all things hold together, he would have known that 16 miles was no problem because 16 billion miles would have been no problem for the Lord. Listen, if we're going to learn the truth about trusting the Lord, we need to watch what we believe about the Lord. You want to travel to heaven in a first-class seat? All you have to do is watch what you bring to the Lord. Then watch what you believe about the Lord. But if all of that's working like it should, number three, and we see this in verses 50 through 54, you're going to watch how you behave toward the Lord. Notice in verse 50 that Jesus spoke personally to this man's hurting heart. Now, when Jesus spoke the word, he said, "Go, your son lives." This man had a choice. Did he believe that Jesus had the power to heal long distance? Was the Lord Jesus' power sufficient enough to travel that 16 miles? Notice what verse 50 says. He believed, and he what? He started off. Oh, that blesses my heart. You see, this man's belief about Jesus affected his behavior. Right belief about who Jesus is and what he can do ought to affect our behavior. James said it this way, it's not those who hear the word of God that will be blessed, but what? Those who hear and do. That famous theologian, Lioness in Peanuts, understood it. One of the Peanuts cartoons shows Lucy and Lioness looking out the window watching it rain. Lucy begins the conversation by saying to Lioness, "Boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole earth?" Lioness said, "It'll never do that." In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that this would never happen again, and he gave us the sign of the rainbow as his guarantee. Lucy sighed, said, "You've taken a great load off my mind." Lioness said, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." Well, let me say something to you. Do you want to travel to heaven in a first-class seat? Let the sound theology of God's word take a load off of your mind. Act upon the truth revealed in the Bible about our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him with your life and everything that happens in your life, and leave the rest to Him. Those who don't do that will wind up coming to Him only when they are afraid or when they are hurting or need help. They'll come for direction, wisdom, a sermon, a Bible lesson. And that's okay if you want to go to heaven in a second-class seat when you have a first-class ticket. You'll miss a lot of what Jesus wants to do in your life. You see, this man believed the word, and as he was going, he started off. He heard the good news. Look at verse 51. It says his servants came to him because they knew he would want to know right away that his son lives. Incidentally, I thought as I was looking at this verse, you know, if this man's servants loved him enough to travel with that kind of good news that his son lived, don't you think you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, have been called to be his servants, ought to think enough of him that we'd be willing to take the good news that Jesus lives to everybody that's lost? Let me tell you one of the problems that happens when we travel second class. We're so busy bringing our problems and our needs and our concerns to the Lord, we're so busy fearing and then learning to trust the Lord, that during that process we fail to be out there in the highways and the byways with the good news that the Son of God lives. What the Lord wants to do is to say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me and walk with me. Know that I have a hold of your life, and if I have every problem in your life, let me worry about the problems. You just share the good news that I live. I want to tell you, one of the greatest days in my ministry was after 3 or 4 years of just struggling to get the church started. And incidentally, I'll just tell you what I learned very quickly through most of those struggles. I had to learn that Henderson, North Carolina did not need another church. Why, if you go to the Yellow Pages, there are 4, 5, 6 pages loaded with churches. I had to learn that Henderson, North Carolina did not need another preacher. There is the little title REV in front of dozens and dozens of names in the Yellow Pages at Henderson. God had to teach me that what Henderson, North Carolina needed was the Lord Jesus Christ. What Henderson, North Carolina needed was the Word of God. And oh, let me tell you, when I figured that out, it got fun. I mean, I just stand up and lift up Jesus and preach the Word of God, and I had the joy of seeing the truth where He's lifted up, He draws. And where the Word is preached and taught verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, God watches over His Word to perform it. Oh, let me tell you, we need to just surrender our all to the Lord. But I remember as I was struggling to learn this, I came loaded down with all kinds of fears, concerns, anxiety to the altar of the church. And I was pouring out my burdens to the Lord, and I cried out to Him at that point, God, I can't handle anymore. Now, I don't believe God speaks audibly, but He came really close that day. I think thundering from heaven came, who asked you to? Those aren't your problems. Those are mine. You're my servant. Oh, let me tell you something. At that moment, I switched from a second-class seat to a first-class seat. I don't have any less problems. As a matter of fact, I have far more. At last I counted, I have roughly 550 of them, to be exact. But I sleep like a baby. You know what I do at night? I go to bed saying, Lord Jesus, you have some problems. They're not my problems. They are your problems. And dear Lord Jesus, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. And if you want to wake me up in the middle of the night, I am your servant, and I would be delighted to rise to hear what you want me to do about your problems. But in the meantime, Lord, I'm going to sleep. Good night. I've slept well for a long time. What we need to do, brethren, is move out of those second-class seats and move over into that first-class seat that Jesus died on the cross to purchase for us on Calvary's tree. You see, verse 53 says this fellow moved from second-class to first-class. Let me show you what I mean. It says, so the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself, what? Believed in his whole household. Now go back with me to verse 50. Verse 50, Jesus said, go your way, your son lives, and the Bible says the man believed the word. Verse 53, he himself believed and his whole household. What was the difference there between those two beliefs? Simply this. In verse 50, he was sitting in a second-class seat, learning that when he's afraid, he could trust the Lord. In verse 53, he moved over into that first-class seat, learning when you trust the Lord, you do not have to be afraid. You see, in verse 50, he was bringing his problems to the Lord because he had faith in the Word of God. But now listen to this. Listening to the Word, he moved from verse 50 to verse 53 from having faith in the Word of God to having faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's who we are to go through life with. The ticket that we have has been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to go through our lives and go through our ministries trusting him. Somebody once said to me, you can trust a man that would die for you. Oswald Chambers once said this. Now listen, you get nothing else out of this hour. This is worth your time. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us his word not so much to tell us where we are being led, but so that we can know and love the one who is leading. Jesus is the one who takes us to heaven. Jesus is the one who is at work in us, both to work and to will for his good pleasure. Jesus is the one who said, apart from me, you can do nothing. The first class seat that I'm talking about is right next to Jesus. Trust him with your life and everything that happens in your life, and you'll be traveling first class with him to heaven. You'll trust and not be afraid for this reason. Every time you have a problem, every time you have a need, sitting in that first class seat right next to Jesus, you just get to lean over and say, Lord Jesus, how are you going to handle this one? Oh, let me tell you, brethren, the best advice I can give you this morning doesn't come out of the Texas Guide to Life. It comes out of the Lamb's Book for Life. It teaches us that faithful is he who calls, and he will bring it to pass. It teaches us that he is trustworthy. It teaches us that he is able. It teaches us that you can trust him with everything that happens in your life. The best way to travel through this life on your way to heaven is day by day with the Lord Jesus Christ. I really believe with all my heart that Jesus is inviting some of you this morning who are sitting in second class seats to switch. Will you come to him? Go ahead and bring your burdens, but then take his yoke. Walk with him. Learn of him. Trust him. And you won't be afraid. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that it reveals to us that you love us, that you died for us, that you took upon yourself our sins, our mistakes, our wrongdoings. You paid that price on Calvary's tree. You were buried and rose again so that you could have a personal relationship with us. God, forgive us for losing sight of that personal relationship that you want with us so often. Forgive us for getting so busy and in our business becoming loaded down and burdened and anxious and worried. Lord, call us all back just to that personal walk with you, where we can sense your voice saying to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, help us to surrender our all. Help us to live every single day, step by step with you, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Al McAllister. I love it. Exactly the truth, and thank you for reminding us of it again today, that we not be discouraged in the way. Now, if you want to talk to Alan McAllister today and say a word to him, just be able to say you've touched a great pastor. He'll be right down here at the close of the service. You come by and say a word of encouragement to him, get acquainted with him. Now, don't commit to this unless you mean it, okay? Remember, God is watching. How many of you throughout the day, as time comes and goes, you'll say yes several times through the day, I'm going to pray for Paige Tillman. Would you just lift your hand, some of you? All right, thank you. How many of you would say yes through the day from time to time? I'm going to remember Stan Denham. Would you do that, some of you? All right, fine. Thank you so much, and I believe you mean business. Through the day, let's pray for him. Would you stand with us, please? We're going to sing. Why don't we sing that last little chorus we sang, okay? And after we have sung, we shall go out to the wonderful pursuits of term papers and preparation for final examinations and witnessing for Christ. I'll tell you what, that'll enhance a visitation program, won't it, with those three options. Well, good to see you in chapel today. Let's sing, and then after we have sung, we'll go out. Alan McAllister will be here at the front.
Father, we love you.
Father.